Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Big day on Capitol Hill today. More of President Trump's nominees are getting grilled by the Senate. The question is, will Pete Hegseth get the votes to be defense secretary? I sure hope so. Welcome back. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I'm very, very excited to welcome back to the show. What a great hat he's wearing, too. Number one New York Times best-selling author. And he's the guy behind so many incredible brands now related to Jack Carr. Of course, I'm talking about the one and only Navy SEAL sniper, Jack Carr himself. Hello, my friend.
What's happening? I like that hat, too. Looking
good, thanks, my friend, for sending it to me. I appreciate it. I wear it all the time, you know.
Oh, so great. Thank you. It looks worn in. I'm going to have to get you another one just in case.
All right, feel free. Go for it. You sent me a camo one, too, and I gave that to my buddy Frank Troy, who is a Navy guy and a big fan of your work. So I gave him that one. So, yeah, he sent me another one. Those cigars, by the way. The Jack Carr cigars are unbelievable.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So good to see you. A lot going on in the news. What a crazy time.
Crazy time. You got a new book coming out, though. Is that right?
I do, actually. If people that are watching, there's a map of Vietnam behind me on the wall here, Southeast Asia. And this one goes back and starts with James Reese's dad, Tom Reese, in 1968, and follows him from the SEAL teams into the CIA. But it's really like an espionage thriller that takes place in 1968. Vietnam. And the more research that I did, I thought it was going to be all fiction, essentially. But the more research I did into USS Pueblo, January 1968, off the coast of North Korea, it gets captured. Well, it's a spy ship that has a bunch of, for at the time, the highest level and technologically advanced encryption devices in the arsenal. And so, of course, the North Koreans give those to the Soviets. And I'm finding out so much about how they reverse engineered that, how they got codes and keying material from the Walker spy ring, and how that could have possibly impacted our operations in Vietnam and then cross-border operations into Laos, Cambodia, North Vietnam. So it's great to go back and write about that time. Also, because you don't have to take into account in every single chapter cell phones and text messages and GPSs in cars and the surveillance state with cameras everywhere, facial recognition technology, you get to go back to old school spycraft, which has been fantastic.
Oh, I can't wait. That's going to be great. When's the book going to be out?
That should come out this summer at some point. And the trailer dropped today, if anyone wants to check out the cover reveal. So the cover reveal dropped today, and that is now out there on the social channels and on the website.
Awesome. Well, listen, love to do an event with you again in Philadelphia, like we always do. Get the band back together. I'm excited for this one. I love the whole prequel thing that you're doing. Let me ask you, too, the Gulf of Tonkin. Do you think that the military-industrial complex, which President Dwight Eisenhower warned about, which will tie into Pete Hegseth in just a moment, but do you think that America was pushed into that conflict, and was the Gulf of Tonkin used for that reason?
It certainly appears to have been used for that reason. And everything that I know about our military, from personal experience to things that I've read and researched over time, certainly would not dissuade me from thinking that, of course, that was used as a precursor for our involvement, for upping our involvement in Vietnam and Southeast Asia as a whole.
Now, Pete Hegseth is your friend, and you talked about this on social media the other day, how he's a warrior, and you're a warrior, and we need a warrior to be in that job. And you wrote a piece, Jack, about how we got to fire all the generals. And that's why I wanted you to come on the show today, and I'm really happy that you did also, because obviously the trailer's out today. It's a big day for your next book and the next iteration of James Reese. But fire all the generals. You've made this point in your books several times that it is the soldier in the field who gets in trouble, not the guy at the Pentagon who gave the order.
That's right. And that article that I wrote was actually from 2021 when we were leaving Afghanistan. And of course, we're watching this, watching 20 years of preparation, watching the best that we can do all come to a head in August of 2021. So I wrote an article out there on Town Hall, easy to find. And I was reminded of it because of what's going on with Pete Hegseth and watching those senators in the confirmation hearing. And every time I watch a confirmation hearing, it doesn't matter who it is or what administration it is, but I have a renewed interest in term limits every time because the ineptitude of our elected representatives is on full display during these confirmation hearings. But yet the article was called Fire the Generals, and going back to accountability and something that seems to have been lost really from 1947 onward. Before 1947, you can really look at the Secretary of Defense, can look at our senior level military presidents firing generals until they get the right one. Lincoln fired general after general until they got to Grant in the Civil War. George Marshall in the precursor lead up to World War II and all the way through World War II. If you didn't measure up, you were fired, and he moved somebody up, regardless of rank, into that position who could do the job. And if they couldn't do it, guess what? Somebody else was going to be right behind there, but they were held accountable. And that's also when it used to be called, the Department of War. And we had a Secretary of War. And then in 1947, with the reorganization of the military and our intelligence agencies, we get this Department of Defense and a Secretary of Defense. And just that precision in language, reflecting precision in thought, that's a different mindset. When you think about defense, you're thinking about, borders, let's defend the borders. You think about war, that means you are going out there, you're going overseas to crush an enemy. And those are two distinctly different mindsets. But really from 1947 onward, there's a lack of accountability with our senior level leaders, which is why I think so many of them have come out in opposition to Pete Hegseth, because they're worried. He is definitely a different choice, an unorthodox choice for that position. And what have our more orthodox choices gotten us? Well, a 20-year war and that withdrawal from Afghanistan, which was the best that they could do. So it is definitely time for new blood, and why Pete Hegseth scares them so much.
Jack Carr's on the call with me. We're also streaming live on YouTube, and it's great to have him. His new book, Cry Havoc, coming out this summer. It's awesome to have him on the show with me today. And Jack, a point too, which is really important to think about is, and your friend and my friend, our mutual friend, Tulsi Gabbard, for example, people that are willing to go and disrupt the order of things and to tell the truth about what's going on, because we don't know the extent to, you talk about the surveillance state, and you make these points over and over in the James Reese books. We don't know the extent of the level of spying and the weaponization. And I think with Tulsi and DNI and with Pete Hegseth and the Pentagon, they can go to the president, the commander in chief, and really show him what's happening. I think part of what the bureaucracy has done is try to cover all this up for so many years.
Oh, certainly. And that's why they're also nervous right now. Who knows what's going to come out? It's kind of like Elon Musk buying Twitter and turning it into X and releasing all the emails and policies out there for everyone to see about how a social media platform was manipulating thoughts and behaviors intentionally on the behest of government agencies in some cases. So there's certainly a lot of that out there, which is why these nominees scare the establishment so much. And what really stood out to me the other day also, both with Pete and with Pam Bondi, was Blumenthal of Connecticut. And Connecticut, what a beautiful state. I mean, I was just back there this last fall, and it was so beautiful out there. And on the Armed Services Committee, I mean, a guy who says he served in Vietnam and lied to get elected and then has the audacity to try to tell Pam Bondi that she is just saying things to get confirmed. I mean, it is almost unbelievable. If you wrote that stuff in a book, people wouldn't believe that anyone would have the audacity to do that sort of thing. But for him to be up there saying those things after lying time and time again about serving in Vietnam when he never did, and to get elected, and then to stay in that position and even go further and be on the Armed Services Committee. It's, sometimes these books just write themselves.
We're going to play the trailer for your new book when this interview ends so that everybody can see it. But I'm really, really excited. And again, would love to host you for another event, Jack Carr. We always love having you and your friendship and your support. And by the way, I got to tell you, my wife and I are doing Dry January right now. But before Dry January, we were on vacation. And I said to her at one point, I said, I think this is going to be a three-bottle night. So I kind of I used a little bit of Reese and Katie's night together in the hotel room as my inspiration for justifying opening the third bottle, you know?
Nice. I like it. Well, hopefully it wasn't one of my my bottles, because those things are potent. To try to do three of those, that Jack Carr whiskey, that'll put you down.
What is it, 160 proof?
Something like that. It's insane.
Yeah, it's the real deal.
It's a sipping whiskey. It's a sipping whiskey.
It certainly is. That certainly is, to say the least. I got a bottle of it for my boss, our boss, the program director, Greg Stocker, for Christmas. And I told him, I said, sip this, okay? Yeah. Don't mix it with anything. This is a sipping whiskey, Jack Carr.
That's right.
Before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you, you know, Marco Rubio yesterday, Secretary of State, talked about the war in Ukraine and said the war has to end. We see Hamas now with this hostage deal. 6 days after Donald Trump said, if the hostages are not released, there's going to be hell to pay. I think the world is seeing now that there's going to be a change here, and we need peace through strength. Obviously, none of us want another war, but it seems to me that the only way to keep these crazy people in their lane is to make them fear us.
No, that most certainly. You want to be the biggest kid on the block, most certainly, most assuredly. And what's very interesting about, I mean, it's so heartbreaking, is that eventually most wars end in some sort of a negotiated settlement. And of course, that's what the new commander in chief is good at, is negotiating. And it's just so heartbreaking to see things drawn out, whether intentionally or through ineptitude or a combination of both. Regardless, the heartbreak remains the same. And who suffers? Well, the soldiers, sailors, airmen, marine on the front line, and those civilians caught in the crossfire that are just trying to live their lives, those families, those children. That is the heartbreaking part of all of these wars. But they eventually will have to get that to a negotiated settlement. So the faster that you can get there, the better, certainly for those frontline soldiers and for those families that are caught in that crossfire. So my hope is we can get most of these things negotiated, or get them to the negotiating table sooner rather than later.
The new book is Cry Havoc, and the trailer is out. We're going to post a link to it. Go to officialjackcarr.com. You can get a cool hat like this and great cigars and great bourbon. And also follow Jack on X and Instagram at JackCarrUSA. And this is really good because the prequel, Cry Havoc, about James Reese's father, Tom, who plays a big role in Only the Dead. So this is going to answer a lot of questions for us. Jack, before I let you go, just a quick question for you. How many kills when you were a sniper, Navy SEAL sniper?
Oh, my goodness. Only amateurs talk numbers. You know this. Only amateurs.
One day, it may be when we're old men sipping bourbon together, the Jack Carr whiskey together, but I'm going to get
through
number.
Three of those, maybe. Yeah, made three of those.
Thanks for your service. Thanks for being a great friend. Oh, and by the way, our mutual friend Ryan Mannion was on yesterday. The USS Travis Mannion. How cool is that, huh?
Incredible. Yeah, I'll be talking to her, I think, in early February for the podcast. So looking forward to talking to her. But yeah, what an amazing person. And their family sacrificed so much. Just incredible.
Jack Carr, thank you, my friend. God bless, buddy. Keep up the great work. We'll talk soon.
Take care.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. Yeah, DeSantis, let's get that trailer. And we'll post the trailer and we'll post the cover. To Cry Havoc. What do you think?
I will grab that right now.
All right, good. Excellent. That was a great interview, wasn't it?
It looked great, too. Sorry. Yes, it was very good. It looked good as well.
That was awesome. I wore my Jack Carr hat for it, too. Nice. DeSantis, would you speak? My God, what are you, like, mute today? What are you, like, a freaking monk?
I'm not mute. I'm doing something right now. I'm looking for the trailer for Cry Havoc. It's very exciting.
You can't multitask? Is that what it is? You want to do one thing at a time?
I mean, it's easier to concentrate and focus on one thing and make sure the task is performed properly as opposed to doing two things or three things at once.
Can we turn the Justin cam on for a moment? Justin, help me, please, because you went to Rowan, which is a school for the common man, and you can multitask like a mother.
I can. I mean, I was just talking to, I was just letting Jack know the interview was over, and I was talking to him on the way out while operating the board at the same time.
See?
I can do two things at once.
You can do like four things at once. You screen calls, you got the music queued up, you're dealing with the YouTube chat. But the Harvard elitist brioche bun eating fake girlfriend guy, you know, one thing at a time, Justin, one thing.
He's got delicate hands. He just can't, he can't multitask like we can.
Delicate hands. Fantastic. I love it. I'm going to get another note about being nice to Matt. Oh, somebody did send me that note actually the other day. Well, go to break. I'll pull up this email I got the other day. A listener asking me to please be nice to Matt. No. The answer is no. It's a hard no on that.
I'm just going to start making up email addresses claiming I'm a listener and like, oh, be nice to Matt. Matt's the best part of the show.
I love it. Santa says not only a fake girlfriend, he's got fake advocates for his role on the show. It's fantastic.
It would be such a twist if I was Minnie the entire time.
Put on the greatest accent I've ever heard in my life.
It's like the end of Scooby-Doo. You would have got away with it if it wasn't for you crazy kids. All right. Big show still to come. A lot of great audio. We got more confirmations on Capitol Hill, including Doug Burgum, talking about energy. We're going to get to all that for you. And I want to tell you about my buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria. What a great guy he is. I texted him yesterday. And I said, hey, my buddy Tommy needs to get in there ASAP to see you. He was able to accommodate him this morning at 8 a.m. at his Woodbury office. That's the kind of guy Mike Venaria is. Great guy, great dentist, great friend of the show. And, of course, he is the master of dental implants. And I think the world of him. I really do. Not only because of his great dental care, but just the person he is. You know, his love of our country, his love of veterans. Every Veterans Day, he hosts a big breakfast for them and honors them. So you'll appreciate not only the great dental care, but you'll appreciate Dr. Mike, his personality, the music in the office, all the great people that work there. And for over 10 years, consecutively, his colleagues have recognized him as a master of dental implants, being the best of the best, referring their patients to him for complicated dental work. So when you got to choose, don't choose the closest dentist, go to the best dentist. That's Dr. Mike. Woodbury office, Cinnaminson office, both right over the bridge. Easy to get to from wherever you are and worth the trip. VenariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
So, we have the trailer for Cry Havoc queued up. We have a guest coming up next. I'm excited to talk to our guest. You're going to want to hear this interview. You're going to hear all the interviews, obviously. It's great to have you with us today. And by the way, I think that the banning of this red dye, the FDA ban, we need to cool it with all these bans and the fact that the FDA comes out and says it causes cancer and it bans it. They said the same thing about alcohol. You know, we're setting up another prohibition here. You realize that, right? Like in 10 years, they can come out and say alcohol is banned. They won't even have to pass a constitutional amendment to do it this time. We don't pass constitutional amendments to ban things anymore. There was a time we did. But I'll talk more about that in a moment. Let me play for you the trailer for Jack Carr's new book, Cry Havoc. Here it is.
I shall not seek the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
He's got a lot of pictures of Vietnam. From number one New York Times bestselling author Jack Carr, Cry Havoc, and Let Slip the Fog of War. Showing a lot of the protests around the Vietnam War. Showing a lot of the war itself. Moscow won't help. The division. Dr. King is slain by sniper. So there you go. It looks like an incredible book. A time of civil unrest. Kennedy is dead. And then it says in Vietnam, and they show pictures of the war in Vietnam. They say war, a time of courage, goes on, for the operators of their classified mission had one requirement, a death wish. This looks great. Cry Havoc, a Tom Reese thriller by Jack Carr. Order now. It'll be out this summer. Looks great. Looks fantastic. If you are on social media, we'll post a link to that as well on Twitter. Matt, if you could do that, and then you could see it if you were not able to watch it on our YouTube chat. But I appreciate you watching it or listening or however you get your show. You know, the thing I was thinking about, too, we got let me take a quick break. We got a great guest coming up straight ahead. We're going to talk about how we can save some money by ending all the nonsense of gain-of-function research. We're talking about $20 billion here. It's a big deal. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We're still standing, baby. And we're going to be standing really, really tall come Monday, I'll tell you that. We got a chance to save some real money. DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. Welcome back. Glad you're here. On X at Rich Cioli. Instagram, Cioli Show. Follow both, please. Want to welcome back to the show. It's been a while, but it's great to have him. Justin Goodman is the Senior Vice President of Advocacy and Public Policy for the White Coat Waste Project. His latest article, here's how Trump 2.0 can cut $20 billion in spending, wipe out Fauci's leftover bloat, and save animals. Justin, how are you today, my friend?
It's great to be back, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. $20 billion is a lot of money. It's a lot of cashish.
Yeah, and you know, there's going to be some controversial cuts under Trump 2.0. DOGE has been targeting lots of wasteful spending, and we've been grateful that wasteful, stupid, cruel, and dangerous animal testing has been on their agenda. Vivek and Elon have been sharing our stuff. Rand Paul in his annual Festivus report released a couple weeks ago featured three ridiculous cat experiments, including one at the University of Pittsburgh, where they're shoving marbles up cats' butts and then electroshocking them to make them poop them out. It cost us $10 million. And this is the type of waste, fraud, and abuse.
Whoa. You can't just say marbles up cats' butts and just move on like it didn't happen. Yeah. You can't just marbles in cats' butts and just go like, how's the weather? We got to focus in on that a second. Marbles in cats' butts and then electrifying them to make them poop them out. Is that what you just said?
Yeah. $10 million the DOD wasted at Pitt for these constipation experiments on
cats. Department of Defense did this?
Yeah, and let me tell you, they've published some papers that have some gross photographs of this experiment.
Is the goal to use cats to poop marbles on our enemies? Is that like what we're going to try to do?
I think that, given the DOD's that it's failed audits, I think 6 years in a row, there's probably a lot of stupid spending over there that we could cut, including this.
Oh, my God. Well, tell me some more of the crazy animal experiments that they've done. There was another one I heard that just blew my mind. I think it was like transgender monkeys or something like that.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, we did a new investigation that highlighted 10 projects that have cost $10 million where they're giving animals, lab animals, hormone therapies and surgeries to make them transgender and then doing experiments on them, including giving them overdoses of sex party drugs to see if the mice that are on the testosterone therapy to make them transgender are more likely to overdose on sex party drugs than mice who are not on testosterone therapy to become transgender. And that was courtesy of the National Institutes of Health.
I'm in a coma right now. I was in the hospital last week, and I don't believe any of this is real. I think I'm in a coma, and this is all a dream. There's just no way.
I wish this was just a sick joke, but unfortunately, the joke is on us taxpayers, and that's why we're highlighting $20 billion that Trump can cut in his first 100 days. We got this four-point plan that we've rolled out Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis did this op-ed with us in the New York Post today, highlighting some programs. Roger Stone did a piece highlighting some of these programs. And we've got four areas that I think everyone, well, a lot of people can agree on we should cut. Number one, taxpayers shouldn't be forced to spend millions of dollars a year torturing dogs and cats in experiments in labs around the world, all across the country, including over at Pitt, like the constipation experiments I mentioned. But we're also funding dog experiments and other animal labs in China still, despite what happened in Wuhan. So that brings me to number two. So number one, cut dog and cat labs. Number two, cut taxpayer funding for labs in China. In early 2020, we exposed that Fauci was funding the Wuhan lab, those experiments that probably caused COVID, yet the NIH and the DOD are still shipping tax dollars to animal labs in China, including ones that are tied to the government and the People's Liberation Army. Obviously a bad idea. And then a lot of people don't realize that Donald Trump in 2019, his EPA administrator, Andrew Wheeler, who's on our board now, unveiled a historic plan to end animal testing, stop puppies from being overdosed with pesticides and other animal testing that the EPA was doing. The Biden administration canceled that plan, so we're asking them to reinstate the EPA animal testing phase out. And then lastly, dismantle Fauci's division at the NIH. It has a $6.5 billion budget. They're funding some of these transgender animal experiments. They're funding virus hunting around the world. They're trying to build a new bat lab in the United States and import hundreds of bats from Asia. These are just common sense cuts that everyone should be able to agree on.
Justin, it's remarkable. You know, you're one of my favorite guests on the show. I you really are. I think you've been on with me ever really since COVID. I mean, you were one of my guests back in like 2020. We talked about this. And at the time, you know, everybody said we were nuts for thinking that this virus was made in a lab and we were crazy and we were conspiracy theorists. And obviously the virus came from an undercooked bat burger and at the wet market and, you know, side of pangolin fries, raccoon dog aioli, you know what I mean? Like the guy just got it medium rare. And, you know, but, you know, it's like they lied. I mean, they lied so much. These people, the lying that they did regarding gain of function research. And I still, and also the puppies, too. I mean, Fauci, like, you know, torturing all these poor beagles and everything. And they lied about that, too. But the idea that we're going to test viruses on animals to create another virus and then also create the quote unquote vaccine for that virus. It makes zero sense why we're doing this. And it infuriates me that it's still not officially like over once and for all. I know Senator Rand Paul's talked about this. I know you've talked to him about this. It just drives me crazy that we're still at this point working on creating Frankenstein so we can figure out how to defeat Frankenstein. It makes no sense.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, we were very close at several points during the Biden administration to defunding these programs and had some success with, I'm speaking about gain of function in particular, but the administration pushed back. They lobbied against our restrictions on funding gain of function. They lobbied against our legislation to cut off funding for dangerous labs in China, Russia, Iran, and other hostile nations. So they were saying we should continue to send money to our foreign enemies for doing dangerous animal experiments that could cause pandemics. Now, the good news is that Donald Trump's not going to stand for this stuff, and his nominees for Health and Human Services, RFK Jr., is a supporter of White Coat, opposes gain-of-function research, was very critical of Fauci's beagle testing, and the nominee for NIH, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya for Stanford, also against dog testing and a major critic of gain-of-function experiments. And should these guys get confirmed, and here's hoping they do, I think this is going to be near the top of their agenda, is making sure that taxpayers aren't funding their own demise by sending tax dollars to laboratories that are, as you said, creating frankenviruses that could wipe out humanity, intentionally creating them.
It's just
madness. It's just, you know, it's like, you know, it's mad science, but it's real life. And that's Fauci's legacy. And that's why one of the things we want to do that Rand Paul and Chip Roy and others have proposed previously is completely abolish the division of NIH that Fauci built over 40 years, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease. It has a $6.5 billion budget. And that's where they're doing all of this bioweapons research and these dangerous gain of function experiments, and some of the most horrible animal experiments you can imagine are happening in this division. So even though he's gone from government, his legacy lives on, and we've got to kill it. And I'm hopeful that the new administration and the new GOP-led Congress will help us do that.
Justin Goodman's with me from the White Coat Waste Project. You know, this op-ed in the New York Post that Congresswoman Maliotakis put together here is excellent. I want to point out a couple things here. $5 million the National Institutes of Health paid to inject beagles with cocaine, okay? Now, that perfectly good cocaine could have been used for I have many friends who would have loved to use that cocaine. That seems like a giant waste to me. What the hell are we doing giving dogs cocaine? What purpose, what medical purpose does giving beagles cocaine serve? How does that help anybody? Explain that to me. I know you can't because it's stupid, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there is examples of this across the government. Working with Joni Ernst, there's a national everything day, but there's a National Monkey Day in the middle of December, and we did a feature with her, kind of a Twitter thread about projects where pregnant monkeys are being fed THC edibles. Monkeys are being hooked on cocaine and forced to gamble for a sip of water in laboratories.
Stop. You can't just say monkeys are given cocaine and forced to gamble and then just move on. Like, you didn't just say that.
I mean, it's sad but true. This is how our money is being spent. And, you know, it would be funny if it weren't real life. I mean, not only are the animals being tortured, I mean, $20 billion a year of our money is going flush down the toilet for these wasteful experiments. And the only people benefiting from them are the people lining their pockets, these colleges and universities, these professors who lobby. They have a very powerful lobby in Congress that goes there hat in hand and asks for money every year to keep this stuff going. And no one asks questions. And when you have someone like Fauci in charge, he can't get enough of it. I don't think he ever met a dog experiment he didn't love. So, you know, this is just the legacy and culture in the government, which is why it's so refreshing to have an administration coming in that's skeptical of spending, skeptical of big science, and skeptical of these entrenched bureaucrats and institutions that have wasted so much time and money and resources, caused a pandemic with these dangerous animal experiments in China, and never been held accountable. So, you know, like you said, Fauci lied about lots of things. He repeatedly lied under oath about funding gain of function in China. Subsequently, the NIH admitted that that's exactly what happened. He lied about using his private emails to talk about NIH business. We got emails showing that he told the Washington Post when he was talking to them about the Beagle scandal and us, please email me at Gmail instead. Yep. He said that from his NIH email address, lied under oath about that. So we're hoping he doesn't get pardoned in the next few days and he can be held accountable next Congress and prosecuted like Rand Paul's been calling for.
No, he needs to go to jail. He really does. He belongs in prison. He is a monster. I mean, there's no other way to put it. This guy is a criminal, and he needs to be held accountable. I truly, truly believe that. And by the way, I just want to point out one more thing, too. We've sent $200 billion to Ukraine in this war. We also sent Russia about $1 million to sever cats' spinal cords and force them to run on treadmills. I mean, it sounds like this is a parody. Like you created something that is a parody to show what government could do if lunatics ran this place. I feel like Peter Sellers is going to show up at any moment right now and play the character in this movie.
Yeah, not only were we funding that cat lab where they were severing cats' spinal cords, basically zombifying them and then forcing them to run on treadmills, and this was happening until 2022, we finally got the funding cut. There were also the USDA and the NIH were sending, this is also true and also wacky, they were sending tax dollars to an experimental fur farm run by the Russian government to breed foxes to be aggressive and then breed foxes to be docile to see if they could breed foxes to be more tame for fur farming in Russia. And we were footing the bill for that.
It's beyond ridiculous. Justin, I appreciate it, my friend. And thank Congresswoman Melia Takis for us, for her work, and also Anthony Bellotti, your president, founder, and of White Coat Waste. And thanks for coming on the show, man. It's great to have you back on. Keep me posted with all this stuff as we move on, because I think there's a real opportunity for change here. Before I let you go, though, I got to ask you, how much does Big Pharma play in keeping all these projects alive? I mean, we know that gain-of-function research is the ultimate gravy train that keeps on giving, right? Because you get the money to create Frankenvirus. You get the money to try to create the cure to Frankenvirus. So they went on both ends. So they don't want gain-of-function research going away. And how much does Big Pharma play a role in stopping all of this other stuff we've mentioned?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, because in some sense, you know, all these experimenters and the pharmaceutical companies want to keep people sick, because if they don't, they're out of business.
Right, right.
So there's not really an incentive to solve these health problems, because if you solve the problems and make people better, then you're out of a job. Mm-hmm. But I will say that, you know, private companies do recognize, at least with the animal testing issue, have recognized the wastefulness of it, because it is very expensive, very slow. And a lot of the problem, this won't surprise you or your listeners, is the government. The government has these insane animal testing mandates for companies. You have companies begging them not to have to force them to poison puppies. Or there's a company right now that's arguing with the FDA over, the FDA was trying to force them to poison puppies. And they're like, this is not going to help us determine whether this drug is safe for human patients, and we've already had it in people. So there's just these, you know, perverse mandates and red tape that the government imposes on companies. So I think in a lot of ways, yeah, pharma and the you know, big science and the government have the same agenda of not solving problems and finding band-aids that they can get rich off of. But there are some areas where the industry is actually driving innovation and at least trying to get us away from animal testing. So, it's a complicated question, but at the end of the day, we have the government being the problem. Whether the government is funding animal testing, whether they're conducting animal testing, or whether they're forcing private companies to do animal testing against their will, Uncle Sam is the villain that we need to address.
Listen, man, I'd love to keep chatting, but I got to go. I got a big poker game coming up, and I just got my dog. He snorted some lines, and my transgender monkey's ready to play. So thanks for coming on the show. Follow Justin on X at Justin R. Goodman, whitecoatwaste.org. Great work, my man. Let's talk again soon, okay?
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You know, the problem, Matt DeSantis, is that my transgender monkey is a pain in the ass. She wants bananas like every 5 minutes. You know what I mean? That's really the problem.
Is the monkey at least good at gambling? Is it good at poker or losing money?
Well, she's going to snort some lines tonight and play with my beagle, who's also snorted. This is kind of, I think we have a sequel to White House Cocaine Dogs now. We have White House Poker, Cocaine Poker Dogs could be the sequel. A bunch of dogs
that.
Doing lines and then, you know, playing poker. I mean, and there is that famous painting of dogs playing poker. I think it was on Cheers, if I'm not mistaken. So we could have dogs snorting lines and playing poker, and that could be our piece of artwork.
I think you've got something. This is better than your see-through bib.
Yeah, I agree. And we can put it right next to the Piazza Auto Group studio sign, like dogs snorting lines and playing poker. I think it'd go nicely right there. It's my suggestion for the studio. See, they take me up on it, but, you know.
By the way,
it's a long time since I'm back there anyway, so I can't, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, so it doesn't matter at that point. Who knows if we even have a job by then. All right, 855-83...
Wait, I have an interesting fact.
Go ahead.
So that dogs playing poker painting was painted in 1894. It sold at auction in 2015. Any guess as to what it sold for?
In what year?
2015.
Oh, man. Dogs, $50,000.
Almost
$700,000. Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. I had no idea.
What was the show or movie where that was a plot line, the dogs playing poker artwork? Was it Cheers? Did I get that right? Somebody's going to tell me on either Twitter or the YouTube chat. So let me know if I'm – I think that's correct. I don't know. Let me ask my transgender monkey if he knows. She knows. Excuse me. She knows. I'm sorry. She. By the way, if you're wondering.
Cheers.
Was it cheers? Yeah, I was right, right?
Good call.
Look at that. Where that came from in my memory, I have no idea. Can't remember my kids' names, but I can remember the dogs playing poker from Cheers. And if you're wondering, yeah, Pooping Marbles was actually my Twisted Sister cover band name in college. Cats Pooping Marbles. That was our full name. So there you go. And if you're wondering, did my transgender monkey cut off the schwanz? No. She still has a penis, just in case you're wondering. So she still has a junk. But we do not misgender my monkey. So I will not. I refuse to misgender my transgender monkey. All right? So she will be snorting lines and playing cocaine, playing poker later. I'm in a coma. None of this is real. I'm sorry, but this isn't real. So somebody wake me up, please. This is going on way too long. All right, 855-839-1210. Doug Burgum pushing to expand U.S. oil drilling as he talks about America being the dominant energy force that it needs to be. Bravo, Doug Burgum. Even though you were my pick for president, and it was the one thing I got wrong in this political cycle, I'm still proud of the work you're going to do as the Secretary of the Interior. We'll talk about that straight ahead. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. 2025 is the year. Get that smile you deserve. VeneriaDental.com. Coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, we got a big show for you still ahead. A little bit later, I'm going to talk to the mom who got arrested because her 10-year-old son was walking. Yeah, Brittany Patterson and her attorney will be here. Parents USA, her son was walking, and they hours later came. Nothing happened to him. He was not in any danger. 10 years old. He's walking down the street. Some Karen called the cops. Sorry, Karens. Especially you, Karen Thomas, and called the cops. And then the cops brought the kid home. Kid was fine. He was safe. He wasn't in any danger. And then hours later, they came to the home and arrested Brittany, mom of four, an upstanding member of the community, no criminal record. And she's still facing charges in Georgia. It's outrageous. And, you know, from the perspective of so many of my friends who I've heard from about this case, because I've had a number of my friends send the story to me and say, can you interview this mom? Because we all let our kids go outside and play. I mean, Patrick is 10. He and his buddies ride their bikes over to a park near our house all the time. All those guys do. They ride their bikes. They meet up. They ride their scooters. So, I mean, between Patrick's friends, there would be probably 10 moms and like so 20 people who would have to go to jail if they, thank God our cops in our town are not crazy, so you know they don't lock up parents for letting the kids ride their bike to the friggin' park. But this is a thing, and it's not the first time this has happened. It's happened a lot in this country. There was a Maryland mom who got in trouble because her son and daughter were playing at the park. They weren't in any danger. She got arrested. Child Protective Services came, made her life a living hell. There was the family whose kids were playing in their own backyard. But there wasn't an adult supervising them. So a neighbor called the cops on them, and they got arrested for letting their kids play in their backyard. So there's a real problem here, but there is a solution to it. David, who's the attorney for Parents USA, has outlined a three-step process that can be used to ensure that we don't arrest parents for letting their kids do what we did as kids, which is be kids. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But man, the first time I ever rode my bike to the 7-Eleven, Mama Zioli followed me in the car. It's true. True story. But I was probably, I don't know, 8, maybe 10 years old, and I rode my bike by myself to 7-Eleven, and Mama Zioli followed me in the car. I don't mind that. There's overprotective parents. I get it. Everybody has to decide how to raise their kids on their own. So, but the point is that the Supreme Court of the United States has said, as parents, you're in charge of your kids, not the state. And in fact, in Georgia, you know, there's no law that says you can't have a 10-year-old can't walk on the street. So a lot of this stuff is being abused, and we got to deal with that. Also, we got to talk about the battle for President Trump's nominees. And there's some great news coming out of Washington. We're days away from the inauguration of the president. Joe Biden's farewell address was a disgrace, as you can imagine. We'll talk about all of that straight ahead. 30 minutes of nonstop talk for you. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.